Thank you, Rob. Let's download here at 720 WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman. Well, the 53rd annual Chicago International Film Festival gets underway tomorrow night and runs through the 26th of October. Tomorrow begins with the highly anticipated film Marshall. And that's just one of the over 150 films from over 25 different countries. The festival is the longest-running competitive film fest in North America, and the stars will be out with tributes to Alfred Woodard, Patrick Stewart, Vanessa Redgrave, and Michael Shannon, just to name a few. It started back in 1964. But my guest tonight, founder and now CEO of the parent company that runs the Chicago International Film Festival, Michael Kutza. Kutza started with just a handful of films and has developed the festival into one of the most prestigious of its kind. The longtime artistic director stepped aside this year for the first time, handing the reins to longtime festival programmer Mimi Pluchet, but he still is working alongside her with the programming for the festival. Joining me tonight, the big table, Michael Kutza. Michael, thanks for being here.
Thank you for inviting me. That was absolutely exhausting listening to that. I'm thinking that there are 26 more days to go or something like that.
Well, let's talk about this festival, because putting a festival like this together, I mean, you know, I want to get into your history, especially going back to when you began this thing. But to have 150 different films, to have 25 different countries represented, I mean, you're talking about a year of planning to find these movies, to bring this in. So this is a year-long
effort. It's funny, because you're using my script for tomorrow, because when I introduce the whole festival tomorrow night, one of the things I'm going to say to the audience is, it's taken a year to get where we are tomorrow night. A whole year of Mimi and myself traveling the world and our team finding these films, lining up the actors and directors and all, and getting the best of the best and bring it back to Chicago.
Is that how it works? I mean, you're going to different festivals and whatever grabs your eye, you're like, I want that in Chicago?
That's how it always started, but we do more than that. So we'll do screenings in L.A., screenings in London and Paris and all, because we've become at such a point after 53 years, the countries and the film institutes and all and the distributors want us to show their films, and we go there as well as the festivals in Cannes or Berlin or you name it. I sent Mimi, where did I send her today? Cartagena, I think. First, if you've never been to Colombia, I said, you should go discover Colombia. Besides the drugs, they're movies. They're movies there, dear.
I mean, but that's quite an undertaking to be able to go to all these different festivals and bring. I mean, with all the travel and everything that you go in, I mean, does it become somewhat of a chore? I mean, you can be in these festivals watching 5, 6, 7 films.
We both do about 5 a day. If it was a chore, I certainly would not be doing it for 50 years. I think it has to be the energy of these directors and these films that keep you going. You know,
you love
what you're doing all these years because there's something that makes you love it, right?
What are you looking for in these films? What is it that makes
new
a film?
Energy, new people, things you haven't seen before, or things you've seen in a brand new way? Yeah, it's exciting.
Okay, so is there a certain mission statement or philosophy that you and Mimi approach films when you're talking about the Chicago International Film Festival? Because you have had an opportunity in your career to discover new talent that became mainstream Hollywood talent. But
that's the secret. The secret always was at the beginning to show first-time directors. That was always the beginning of this festival, to find the first time. Show me your first film or your second film. That's what we want. That's how it started. So back in, let's say, 67, some kid sent us a film. I think his name was Martin Scorsese. It's true. That's where Roger Ebert was starting his job. He just got out of University of Illinois. And he covered the festival for his first job. And he saw this film by Martin Scorsese. And he took it on like his little mantle and fell in love with it and him. Written books about him and became lifelong friends with Scorsese.
Now, the festival tomorrow, you're going to start a couple weeks worth of films that aren't just going to be first-time directors. There's going to be a lot of different...
A good percentage are first-time directors.
So how do you find that match of the first-time director plus the films that you know are going to have the notoriety that are going to bring the audiences in with the esteemed veteran
The secret has always been, even back at the very beginning, I knew nobody wanted to come see a new film from Romania or Hungary or even Italy. In America, we only knew French movies. It was the only kind of foreign film we ever saw back in as a kid. So I knew that you had to open with a Hollywood film or something to capture you, and then if I could get you in that night, you might hang around the next day and see something from Brazil.
You know, for you, the International Film Festival, the Chicago International Film Festival, has grown its 53rd year. how important is it to have the big names, the big Hollywood films? You just mentioned to get you in the door, but then also the tributes, Alfie Woodard, Patrick Stewart.
Very important, even from the very beginning, the very first year of the festival. Even though I was a kid, I had Bette Davis, King Vidor. I'm sure you've never heard of King Vidor, amazing silent film director, and Stanley Kramer at the first film festival.
And you know what? Festival. What I wanted more than ever to do for the entire hour.
Chicago is star-starved.
Still.
I was a kid. I wanted stars here. I wanted.
See, that's it. I wanted to spend the whole hour just talking about the pump room. I know. There's so much we could do just about the beginnings of the Chicago International Film Festival. Michael Kutza in studio. Marshall starts the festival tomorrow. It's got a lot of buzz. Josh Gad is in it. He's going to be there. A lot of others as well. Why this film? Why this film to start the festival?
All right. It all works on history. So this film is produced by a young lady that I've known for 25 years named Paula Wagner. It means nothing to you. Paula Wagner invented Tom Cruise. She was his agent and publicist back then. And she came here one year. We were honoring Tom Cruise, his 10th year. We gave him an actor of decade. The decade made his first film in Chicago. I said, okay. Tom comes. I meet Paula. We became lifelong friends. Paula produces films now. She did all the Mission Impossible stuff, and she does Spielberg films. And so Mimi and I are in Hollywood this year looking for product. I said, let's call Paula. I said, maybe she's got something new. And I'll tell you more about Paula because she's coming to Chicago with her Broadway show. Paula said, yeah, I've been working on something for a year. I don't know what I'm going to do with it. I'm not doing festivals. I'm doing careful marketing and with lawyers and judges around the country. Okay, maybe it's your opening night. I said, maybe it is. Let's take a look at it. And Mimi and I fell in love with it and thought, interesting Chicago angle, because Hudlin is from Illinois. We say Chicago with some of his early work. So I thought, okay, there's an angle there.
How important is it for you to make sure that there is that angle?
I like Chicago talent, and I think it's important that we honor Chicago talent. We have whole sections of the festival of Chicago and Illinois filmmakers. So I thought this was a match made in heaven, and we got it. This is the first festival ever showing it. Its first red carpet premiere, because they canceled everything else after the Las Vegas situation. They didn't want to do premieres. So this is it.
This is it. The movie Marshall will be the opening. It's premiering tomorrow night. With the entire cast, the red carpet. Chicago International Film Festival starts tomorrow, runs through the 26th. Founder and CEO of the parent company, Michael Kutza, in studio tonight. Let's take a quick break. We'll come back. And I want to get into those pump room days. That's where we're going next. Michael Kutza in studio. Stay with us.
Oh, probably some.
You don't know who that is?
From back then.
I'm assuming. I don't know. We'll watch the news and right about now, right?
We honored Walt Disney and Mickey Mouse. Mickey Mouse on whatever birthday. God, it was remarkable. And Disney's people took an entire train, with Mickey Mouse and all, from L.A. because Walt loved trains. And that train came Union Station, marching bands. We did the cake cutting with Mayor Bilandic then at the top of that executive building over there. Remarkable. And Mickey Mouse, of course, not allowed to speak. But I learned later who Mickey Mouse was in that costume.
Michael Kutza is my guest in studio. He is the longtime founder, longtime artistic director, now CEO of Chicago International Film Festival, which
long
starts
time
tomorrow.
Means old, I guess, right? Long
well,
time?
It's, I mean, the 53rd annual Chicago International Film Festival. Take us back to 1964. What are you, 22, 23 years old? I've read it two different ways. It's 22.
And it all started with a silent actress named Colleen Moore. She had retired in Chicago. She was the highest paid female in the movies back then. And Irv Kupp's in it. I made a little film, and I said, Kupp, I made this film. I won an award, and I want to start this film festival thing. I want Chicago to see all these films. And Kupp said, you know, Mike, nobody calls me Mike, you got to meet this lady. Her husband's dead, and it's time that she gets up with this widow thing, and you're the perfect thing to do it. Bring her back into her days in Hollywood. She married the president, Merrill Lynch, and she lived in Chicago, became a society lady. I met her, and she became like my second mother, which my present mother was not very happy about. But, you know, you move on.
What did she teach you? I mean, what was that relationship like?
Well, but let's not go that far. But I was just like the kid down the block with all these wild ideas. And she said, okay, first of all, you're too young. So we're going to change your age, and I'm going to give you a pair of glasses, which she got from Harold Lloyd, another silent film star. And you're going to wear these glasses, and you're going to be 27. I was 27 for 7 years. I got to the point where I never knew how old I really was. And she said, so let's start this thing. You get the films. I'm going to get you the stars, and we're going to make this thing happen because I'm really bored. That's really came down to it.
Well, at the time, and like take us to the mid-60s. I mean, what was the film festival circuit like at that time? You just get the films? What films were? Where would you go, and how would you get stars to come to Chicago?
I want to go one step further about Colleen, because Colleen lived at 1320 North State Parkway across the street from the Pump Room.
Of course, yeah.
So Colleen, since she was a silent film comedian, like Charlie Chaplin, but a woman, and she says, well, you know, I got Joan Crawford coming over today, and Myrna Loy's here for lunch. I'm meeting all these people, and I didn't. It really didn't dawn on me what I was involved with, and it was all sort of happening fast. And I said, okay. And we all had, besides lunch at her house, we would go to the Pump Room across the street because that's where they all hung out for lunch. Because in those days, in the days of movies, even before jet planes, you took the 20th Century from New York. You stopped at the train, stopped in Chicago. You stayed at the Ambassador, east or west, because the hotels were there and connected by a tunnel. You had lunch or breakfast at the Pump Room, and you took the train the next day to California. So this is the stopping point. It's ironic that the Pump Room is now opening again, called Booth One,
I guess, calling it.
And the hotel is just renamed again, the Ambassador.
I mean, that it's sort of, it's such like a great Chicago story.
The circle is happening. The
because
cycle.
Everyone knows Cup at the Pump Room, and the story's there. But, I mean, at that point, and I have to ask because...
But the hotel was owned. This is the other... It was owned by Mervyn LeRoy's wife, another major Hollywood director of Colleen. So this all started to happen, and we all became friends for the rest of our life. And so they all, you know,
Michael,
moved on.
Were you setting out to have this kind of connection when you said, I want to do
no
a film festival?
I had no idea where this was going. All I wanted to do was bring these foreign films to Chicago, do this festival, and change the way Chicago saw movies. I wanted them to see what I saw.
What was your, I mean, when you began your interest in doing a film festival and bringing foreign films to Chicago, what was the thought about foreign films? You mentioned the only thing Americans knew at that time were French films, but you really had a love of cinema from all over.
But because I actually made a little movie and I started showing it in festivals, and I went to festivals, and Colleen and I went to Cannes. That was the big first thing I ever saw was the Cannes Film Festival, and that made me think, okay, we can do that here. In my day, we only had a foreign film theater down on Michigan Avenue called the Fine Arts in the World Playhouse, and a little thing on Michigan and Chicago Avenue called the Cinema. But they all showed like one movie. They showed an Italian movie or one French film. That was it. Or a Swedish film. That's all you saw for 6 months. And then I realized there's a whole world of stuff out there. And let's bring it here and let's change Chicago.
When you started showing this in successive years in 66, 67,
nobody
68,
came.
Nobody came.
Yeah, nobody came. How'd you know that?
I didn't. You finished the
nobody
sentence.
Nobody came. Nobody came.
But really, I mean, talk about building that audience, because nobody did come.
That's right. Also, we were in November. It always would snow. It was difficult to get people to come here.
Well, as a young, fledgling filmmaker, but also someone who wants to start a festival, was there a time, and I know that, I mean, I think it was 1967, that you said, enough of this. I want to fold this. Never.
I went to Mayor Daley, the real Mayor Daley. And I said, I'm doing this thing, and I need your help. He was absolutely a fascinating man, and I didn't know what to make of me. Yeah, uh-huh, yeah. I need a theater, I need hotels, I need things to make this really work. I'll give you McCormick Place. I said, really want McCormick Place. I'll give you McCormick Place. I'll give you the hotels, but I don't want my name on anything. I said, okay. He said, the films you show are dangerous to me. I can lose votes. Don't put my name on it, but I will help you all the way, which he did. And he gave me a guy named Frank Sullivan, who did all his PR, did everything at City Hall. And we also helped start the film office because he wanted films to come here. I said, we will promote making movies in Chicago and everything we do at the film festival around the world. Really strange how this all starts.
Was that was that the change of getting audiences in when the city got on board and Frank started to help you and Mayor Daley silently helped you?
More visible, and we were able to get... I tried the McCormick Place thing for 1 year. I said, this isn't going to work. And then we started looking at the Granada Theater. All these places are gone, of course, now. And the Biograph Theater and
Carnegie was at the beginning of the festival.
Carnegie was the first festival.
I mean, these are great. I mean, there's a lot of listeners right now who are probably going down memory lane thinking of
and
the names.
And the Carnegie Theater right now is your Hugo's Frog Bar. That's exactly where it was.
Michael Kutz is in studio with me tonight. He's the founder of the Chicago International Film Festival. The 53rd annual festival begins tomorrow here in Chicago. And we're talking about its early days here on the download. It is interesting because, you know, as you get later into the 60s, into the 70s, you do notice that America's palette changes. More and more interest in what's happening around the world, more and more interest in foreign films. How did the festival change as society changed? More people interested in learning about film and art and culture from other places in the world?
I'll give you that answer, but I want to complete a thought, because as the festival grew back in those early years, film directors started to hear about us and they wanted to come to Chicago. Why? Because they had heard of Al Capone and Mayor Daley. These are two fascinating things. Then they came here and they fell in love with the look of the city and they wanted to make movies here. Then we'll go back to what you just asked.
Okay. Yeah. As you really did double down on showing foreign films, did it help that society was changing its mind towards looking at the rest of the world and there was a counterculture movement and people wanted more or more interested in what was being produced around the world?
Thanks to people like Haskell Wexler and documentaries, yeah. Absolutely, Chicago is changing and we helped change it. And that also backfired with my relationship with Mayor Daley, because Haskell made Medium Cool.
Of course, in 1968, right?
And then Daley stopped, all filmmaking must stop here until I read all scripts.
Really?
So that would he put a stop to all filmmaking. Yeah, Haskell.
And all of Chicago, he said,
No one could make a film here again until the script was cleared after
because
Haskell.
Because that Medium Cool, of course, it was a fascinating, groundbreaking
show.
It was inside the 1968 Democratic Convention protests. If you watch that film, that is an amazing film.
It has the great Shoot to Kill line, and it has Daley saying it, and it has the convention. It's remarkable.
And after that, he said, I have to read the scripts if you want to shoot here.
Which took a while, a couple of years, and then all that went away. And Haskell became a long supporter of the festival until I think he died last year. Great guy.
Michael Kutza in studio tonight. We're talking about the Chicago International Film Festival, which begins tomorrow. Let's take a break. We'll get an update on tonight's news.
New things, though.
Yeah, and
old stuff. Come on.
You know me, man. I want to stay on the old stuff. Stories about Mayor Daley. I have a grin ear to ear right now talking about Chicago history with Michael Kutza. All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll get an update on tonight's news, and we'll continue the conversation here on The Download. Stay with us. It's The Download here at 720 WGN. Thanks, Rob. Michael Kutz is in studio. He is the longtime artistic director, founder of the Chicago International Film Festival, which begins tomorrow, runs through October 26th. The film Marshall opens the festival tomorrow night. Red carpet, the whole bit. Michael Kutz in studio talking about the history of the festival and what to expect from this year. But, I mean, just great stories about Chicago moving from, you know, sort of being a tried and true old school kind of city and moving into industries it's unfamiliar with.
And we were doing the Daley thing earlier before we cut off by the free windows. the one who fell in love, the mayor who fell in love with the film festival was Jane Byrne. And she saw all the potential. She saw everything.
Jane Byrne, she comes in and she understands what a film festival can do.
And her team, her whole team did. And, okay, we're going to fund this. We're going to do this, that, the other, and we'll promote it. And it was fantastic. She really understood.
Does the film festival, Chicago International Film Festival, does it work hand in hand with the film industry coming to Chicago to shoot film? I mean, is it all one part of it? I mean, how much, I guess, sway does a film festival have in trying to get films to be shot here in Chicago?
I think those days are over, because right now Chicago is the center of television. The actual feature films, they may come in for 2 days, 3 days. It's not like it used to be. It's expensive to shoot here. The weather is totally uncontrollable.
Right,
yeah,
right,
you don't
right.
know where it's going. And you need a good tax incentive. We have it. But then when am I going to get my money? Because the state is a little awkward in paying off. If you can't pay your lottery, it's awfully difficult to give me the percentage for my movie, too. And I hear this from filmmakers. So television is working very well here.
Right.
And do we help? We're really not in that business to help. We were very much instrumental in getting movies here, but not anymore.
When you were instrumental, what was the pitch? I mean, would you say, hey, we got this great film festival, Vowel's got this great town, you should come to town?
Anything we did, we promoted, make a movie, get involved with the film office. We were part of the package. Yeah. When a director came, we would try to sell them on making a movie here.
You know,
it just became natural to do it.
As we move on from Jane Byrne into more of the modern time of film festivals, and we think about,
I'll tell you something funny. Okay. Since we're before Sundance and before Montreal and before Toronto, as we became very visible, I had a young man come here. Well, I just started Toronto, and it's a couple years old, and we've been studying what you're doing and how visible you are. Would you come work for us? I said, no, like a fool. I was just a kid. I'm still just a kid. Then Montreal came. Others came. So the irony of that story was, no, I was going to continue making this thing work. But it was sort of fun when we were so visible. They came to Chicago.
They came to you.
See what we did. It was working so well and so visible.
I mean, I think about all those film festivals you mentioned, Toronto, Cannes, Sundance. I mean, there's so many different film festivals. The experience, especially here in North America, has become almost turbo in the way that now there's a pipeline. We know when the festivals are going to show and what the next move is to go to the Oscars. I mean, it's almost become cookie cutter and formulaic. I mean, have you noticed a change in the way that film festivals interact with Hollywood and how it has become a much bigger industry?
Of course. But even though people say, well, festivals are over and blah, 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 Netflix, et cetera, it's not true. We are a complete niche. The only way you're going to see the films we show are with us. And you're going to see with the director or actors or stars with us. So you're coming to the festival. You're not just going to see a movie. You're going to see a movie you're not going to be able to see maybe ever again, or maybe next year on Netflix or next, you know, season or something. It's still that niche that is impossible to get anywhere else. I think that's what keeps us strong.
And
and Oscars, yes, some people spin us off. Of course, Marshall wants to spin off into getting an Oscar.
Right. Well, La La Land was the opening film last year. You do have this.
I really hated that guy. He said, I love your film. I really hate you because you're 31 years old. You've made two movies, and this thing is, your Whiplash is pretty terrific.
That's
this is your second film. I hate you.
I hate you.
He's funny.
Well, I mean, does it change the way you approach your festival? When you know now that you definitely have to compete with streaming sites, or you know that you have to compete with other festivals, that you know that there's a pipeline and even the audience has become more sophisticated?
We work very closely with all the festivals.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Because when Mimi and I and our team will find a film that we like in Cannes or Berlin or something, and you put your mark on it that you want it, we're October. That was already February. By then, it's going to go through distribution and sales, et cetera, et cetera. You may lose it to theatrical or to a Netflix or HBO or Amazon or something. It's a long haul. You found it. You want it. It may then go to Telluride, New York, and Toronto, and then Chicago, even though you found it first. It's just the progression of things in the cycle of where we are in the calendar, too. But still, we're coming to a market that is pretty far away from those other places. We're for Chicago.
Speaking of calendar, I mean, we talked about this right at the beginning of the interview, the idea that your work is year-round. You're going to festival after festival, watching movie after movie. The film festival in the last couple of years has expanded to the way that now it's events. I mean, I was trying to get you in here for the Jane Fonda event that was a couple weeks ago and the others that were earlier in the season.
We did Helen Mirren in April. We are year-round with so many events. And Jane, we did Jane in July. And now we have Patrick Stewart and Vanessa here in October and Michael Shannon. You have to keep going in that sense. So this festival closes. We have a television festival, for instance, in March. Then we have educational screenings every month with Chicago Board of Education. We've got 7,000 kids a year we take to the movies for free. And then in May, we do a thing called Cine Youth, which are young filmmakers age 22 down, up to 6 to 22, let's say. So you make us a movie. And we showed in this specialized festival. You talk about talented kids, but I really hate these guys. I think we gave an award to some 8-year-old one year, and I really resented him.
Yeah, I...
And besides that, okay, we do free screenings at the Cultural Center from May through October of international cinema. So we are year-round. That's what Cinema Chicago is, the year-round organization. The festival's only this two-week thing in October, which is pretty spectacular.
And, but, it, I mean, it is the crown jewel in the 53rd annual. Yeah, yeah. I mean, this is when all the films are coming in and the stars are out. But, I mean, for you as a guy who put this film festival together with, what, 7 to 10 films in 1964?
That's true.
And I think your quote is that two were good, I guess, something like that. But from that to where you're at now, to going year-round and all of this exposure and all these programs, I mean, is it hard for you to imagine the scope in the way that it's changed from how you started to where you're at now?
I would never think of that. You just brought that back up to hurt me.
Not to hurt you. I think it's reflective, right? I mean, I think back when you're 22 years old,
you know,
to think, geez, man, we're doing, I mean, you're such an integral part of the city of Chicago's film.
In 1966, we showed Bill Friedkin's first film, a documentary. I reminded him of that the other day, saying, you should come back to Chicago. Yeah, Mike. I always know how close they are when they say Mike.
Yeah.
You know? Bill, you got a new film. Let's do it. Well, I want to come and I don't want to come to all those people. Maybe in November I'll come do something. You want to do something in November? I said, maybe.
I mean, it's interesting because throughout the interview you've talked about relationships.
Very important.
They're important. And you think about young filmmakers as they set out and they get a chance to go out and make their independent film, but also get an opportunity to work in Hollywood. How important is it to...
Joe Swanberg. Joe, mm-hmm. Chicago product.
Been on the show
hot
a couple
right
times,
now.
Yeah.
So who's Joe Swanberg? He worked in our office doing travel for us. He'd fly you in as a director, and he'd work out all the travel. And he also met his future wife at our festival.
Another great filmmaker.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And we've helped his career, and he's coming back this year to work with the festival and be a guest speaker in our industry days things. Mark Romanek, another director from worked in our mailroom.
Is it important for you to have this connection to young filmmakers from Chicago? I mean,
absolutely. They're your future. So... when we have a first film director back then, when they make their fifth film, they'll give you a call, or the sixth, and it's like a family. They come back because they have this loyalty, and it's a wonderful feeling that develops.
You know,
in fact, Mimi pointed out, our new artistic director, pointed out, Michael, she said, she knows me better than Mike, and she said, you know, we have a father... I think it was from Poland, with his film. And you know, his daughter has a new film we're showing in another section of the festival. It's wonderful. I said, you're joking. I said, no, I bet you didn't know that. I did not know that. I was very excited that talk about a family and years with the history of the festival.
When you go out and you go to Hollywood and you go to different festivals, but specifically Hollywood, how has that industry changed? I mean, for you to have been out there now decade after decade after decade to scope out the new work.
When we go to Hollywood, we only scope out the studio films, which are lesser and lesser as the studios start to wind down.
Is that the big difference, that they're winding down?
Well, they can't really make it much more, and that's why the Amazons are popping up and the Netflixes are popping up. Is that a plural, Netflixes, you think?
I think so.
The studios cannot continue to make endless tent poles, as they call them, you know. The Star Wars, of course, they'll keep doing. But look at Transformers.
Well,
died.
I mean,
you know, these things are over.
Yeah, and it's interesting too, because I know we have coming up on the show a Netflix film, you know, stuff that goes straight to Amazon, or you know, other people who've done stuff that just go right to almost like specials, movies that are just for the streaming sites. Well, they don't necessarily need the film festivals. They don't need distribution.
Well,
they go straight to these streams.
But they do. We visit them and Amazon and HBO and all. And yes, they will have a specialized film that they feel is more important, that they've made. They may test it theatrically with us, then go stream a couple of weeks later. They still feel they want to get certain demos that we have, I'd say, in Cannes this year. I think the new Woody Allen film was paid for by Amazon, I believe,
right.
or Netflix. I'm not remember which.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's quite common to
be able to be in the festival and then go to stream.
If they see it marketing-wise as a useful tool, yeah, we're still out there. As I say, we are a strong niche the film festival.
53rd annual.
We never use annual. It's the 53rd Chicago International Film Festival.
Okay, 53rd.
Annuals are weird.
Yeah, all right. Well, 53rd straight year of the Chicago International Film Festival. You know, as we wrap up here, it's rare that you'll see an institution like the Chicago International Film Festival retain the same talent that runs it. In your case, you're the founder, artistic director. You just stepped aside as artistic director, but you're still CEO. 53 years of doing this year after year. Talk about that. I mean, just give us a parting thought on this.
You become the mentor. I have no problem becoming the great sage for my staff and my kids that work with. They're my kids. They truly are family. And I think they see it. They enjoy it. They've all grown with it. They grow on to their next jobs, whether it's in the industry or not. I think you become a teacher. And I think those that stay and those that move on, they enjoy the meeting the directors, seeing the films, and the knowledge that goes with it.
Chicago, it's been a big part of your – grew up here, grew up in the West Side.
West Side, yeah. Austin.
You had this, we talked about the days of the Pump Room and everything that started your festival when you're 22 years old, your relationship with Roger Ebert as well. We didn't even get into that, but a great relationship. I mean, talk about how important it is to be a Chicagoan who runs the Chicago International Film Festival. What does Chicago mean to you?
Chicago is my home. Chicago, my roots. The West Side was very important. But I've been living in Old Town for 50 years now, and the downtown is more important, and watching the audiences grow, young audiences grow, and our usual demo. I say demos a lot because we all study who comes. I mean, you want to get a younger crowd, and that's why you have Patrick Stewart this year.
Right.
He may be old, but who's going to be at that audience? 20-year-olds.
People like Family Guy and those kind of shows.
And Michael Shannon, young crowd. Even Marshall, the opening, a young crowd. You got to skew your audiences now. Chicago. I've watched Chicago change. I've watched other film organizations develop, spun off of ours. And it's great. It gives you a great feeling just to watch my city.
Michael Kutza is the founder.
I'm not running for mayor.
And mayoral candidate.
I have no intention.
It's the mayor of film, the mayor of the Chicago International Film Festival.
Thanks for having me today.
Great to have you. The 53rd Chicago International Film Festival starts tomorrow night with the highly anticipated film Marshall, continues to the 26th. You can find all the information at the website and, of course, all over as it gets great coverage from the newspapers.
What's the website?
Well, the Chicago
Filmfestival.com.
Filmfestival.com.
Did I hear that? That's right.
At this point, it's just as Matt in the segment before said, can I give the website? People just put it in. You just put it in the search bar, Chicago International Film Festival, and you're on your way. You don't even need websites anymore.
That's true.
Michael Kutza, great to have you. Thanks for being my guest tonight.